This week's episode is brought to you by Kevin. It's your line.
Oh shit! This week's episode is brought.
Oktoberfest thing we went to last week, we have the golf course down the street from us, and then across from that is a park, and then this big tent thing with like a German band playing. They had all this German like Hofbrauhaus beer, and then the one beer, I know you'll know it, I can't think of the name, it's the world's oldest brewery, the one that was like in 1054 it was established.
Sam Smith?
Something like that, yeah. But
Samuel Smith in England? Yeah. They still brew on the same fucking what are they called? Like the Yorkshire Stones? Some shit like that.
Yeah.
They have a really good, like, chocolate stout.
Ooh, I did not have that. We had a... There was, like, a Keller that I had and a Oktoberfest that I had. And they were both nice. Very, very good. But, Megan felt right at home because her company that she works for is German, and she's actually gone over to the real Oktoberfest because of her company. And nice. So she's like, oh, yeah, when we went over there, we did this, that. And she showed me pictures, like, their tents at the Oktoberfest, and they're just, like, buildings that have cloth on them. Like, it's insane. I'm like, I really want to go to that sometime.
Yeah, I would love to go there someday. I really want to go. It's just going to be a matter of time before... Yeah, I'm going to do it. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it.
Yeah, we got nice and toasty there, and then we came back. I drank all my stag... Well, most of my stag, still have a couple left. But we just drank, watched Shaun of the Dead, Zombieland, and Hot Fuzz. It just got...
Well, there you
and
go.
We Googled, you know, like how there's websites that have, like, the drinking games for every single movie, and we just did all the drinking games for them, and it was a whole lot of fun.
Hell yeah.
Speaking of which, Kevin had a lot of fun in Chicago. Oh, wait, I guess I should introduce the podcast first. hello, welcome to HodgePodgecast, the official podcast of CountryHodgePodge.com. I'm your host, Steve Hodge, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, cousin, lover, Kevin Hodge.
Yeah, so the best and worst part of this podcast having listeners is now I know when I tell this story, there are going to be a lot of people that hear it.
Yeah, you probably get some tweets.
Yeah, well, and also I know my dad's going to listen to this, and he's going to be like, God damn it. background story. I was in Chicago this weekend on Saturday for a Cubs game. The Cubs game was at 1 in the afternoon, and, we just kind of drank the whole day. But what happened was I have a friend who knew exactly the things to get me triggered. Who said, hey, Kevin, I'm going to drink more beers than you at this Cubs game. To which I said, no, you're fucking not. Exactly. And then I had 24 beers at the Cubs game.
Jesus Christ, how much did that cost you?
They were free.
Oh, well.
That's why it happened. So we had seats at the LG Porch, which is LG is one of our biggest, you know, vendors. Vendor is the correct word at work, and so we got some free tickets in their area of the you know, it's an area of the bleachers where you can sit in the bleachers, then you just go right up to the top, and they have a bar, and it's free beer.
Oh, so I've been over.
We
that
had.
Area.
So, I mean, it was a decently long Cubs game because there were runs being scored. So it was, you know, I had a bunch, you know, like I said, I had like 20 something fucking beers. And, but that was like, we were at the game 2 hours before it started, and then it was a decently long game. So it was a long period of time. It wasn't like 2 hours and I just fucking ripped through it. Not to try to discount my amazing feat, because I am amazing. But my friend Tom was just like, I'm going to drink more beers than you. And then I'm like, no, you're fucking not. And so as you can imagine, if you have way too many beers during a, like, early afternoon, it just sets up the whole rest of your day. And so, yeah. At some point, we're in Wrigleyville, and we're at this bar that is like a, quote, country bar, and there's this band playing. And I had, at that point, switched from drinking beers to drinking vodka Red Bulls, because I am a smart person who Jesus. Is very smart and deserves to be thought of as a smart person. No, and so I don't even really have any idea at that point how many drinks had happened, but this band was supposed to be country, but they were all dressed like massive douchebags. And that was not okay with me. Ugh. And so apparently, I mean, I remember this, but apparently at some point when they were playing some shitty cover of a pop country song, me and my double-fisting vodka Red Bulls flipped them off. And then after that, the lead singer looked at me, looked at security, said something about, like, get this fucking guy out of here, and then I just proceeded to be escorted off the premises. So, long story short...
What a pussy.
They couldn't handle being terrible at music, and I was so right, they had to get me out of there.
Pretty much. I mean, genuinely, like, when I think of things like that, when I think of, like, the bro country people complaining, like, this is my music, and it's because they know that they're in the wrong with their shitty music.
Yeah, no, it was really funny because I could tell how, like, pissed off the band was that I was just like, because, like, before the incident, we'll call it, I was just kind of, like, standing there, like, staring at them as they, like, douchebagged it up there, and I could tell that they were all, like, looking at me, like, not feeling it, and they were just, like, clearly pissed off that I wasn't just going along with their nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just, it was funny. So, like, as I was leaving, I was just, like, legitimately laughing because I was just like, this is fucking great. But also, in hindsight,
covering shitty songs that no one's going to like in 5 years.
Exactly. Maybe don't flip the band off. You know, maybe that was the one thing that I'll fix going forward. But I stand by it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there's Max staring at me because he's so sad mommy's gone. But yeah, so speaking of shitty fucking music, the next thing we're going to do is one of everyone's... We've gotten actually a lot of requests for this one, so I'm not making it up when I say this is a thing that people ask for. We're going to do another dramatic reading. And this week, in honor of them releasing their amazing album, Zac Brown Band's The Owl, we're going to do a dramatic reading of the song... what's it called? God Given. That's it.
If only I could have flipped this band off.
You can. You'd just be on the lawn 200 yards away and they wouldn't notice.
Fuck you guys! God damn. Oh, dude. Other part of random things that are stupid about Chicago and that bar. The bar was obviously full of, like, young Chicagoans just douchebagging it up and being terrible. There were these two kids. I'm calling them kids. They were obviously old enough to be in a bar, so they're not kids. They're kind of kids. This guy and this girl who are, I don't know if they're dating or if they're just fucking hammered, were making out so hard in the middle of the bar, and everybody was just kind of like staring at them, and it was hilarious because then someone like knocked a chair over that was like really loud, and then it hit something else and like glass shattered, and they did not skip a fucking beat. Like everybody stopped and looked because it was like really loud, and they're just like,
ugh, that was,
and I was like, way to go, kids.
That was
way
always the embarrassing thing you saw at college parties was the couple making out in the middle of the dance floor.
Yeah, it's just egregious. Completely egregious.
Yeah. Anyway, let's do this. The dramatic reading of...
Let's set the mood.
Set the mood. Fuck Trump. I assume that's what happens in those bars.
Nah, I mean, slam poetry is a thing.
Jesus died for our Cynthia's. Anyway, Zac Brown Band's God Given. Gucci bag, stacks on stacks. Diamonds fill up the champagne glass. Veyron whip, G5 high. You have class that you just can't buy. Now let's start at the bottom, strong coming in twos. Then the legs stretch to heaven from the miracle shoes. Amazing, playing to win with that way that you walk.
all stone cold woman gliding through like a boss. Let's go, shit, to the middle. It's the way your hips ride the little dimples. It's the small of your back. It's a fantasy land, damn. Gotta understand, you make me feel like man. Gucci bag, stacks on stacks. Diamonds fill up the champagne glass. Veyron whip, G5 high. You have that class that you just can't buy. Cause damn, girl, what you got is God-given. Cause damn, girl, what you got is God-given.
I have never read those lyrics before, and I'm angry.
Yeah, I remember I looked a little bit at the Saving Country Music review of the album, and one line that I remember seeing that was fucking genius was when he said that you need a douchebag translator just to understand what the fuck he's talking about.
Yeah, I honestly don't know if I was saying whatever a Veyron whip? Veyron whip?
That's a Bugatti. The model is a Veyron.
Oh, okay. Oh, a whip is a car. That's right.
Yes.
I forgot that.
Don't get me wrong. It's nonsense.
No,
Everything you just said is nonsense.
Oh, God. Yes. There's an ad cutting between the lyrics. I thought there was only one more verse, but there's a lot more to this song.
Ugh. Yeah, I'm good.
How do you think that's a good song? I don't get it. Like,
the thing that blows my mind is that how can you be talented at music? Because he is. We've seen it. He's done it in the past. How can you do what he's done and then make something like that and really think it's a good idea?
I know. And
like, really believe in it. Because he's been playing that song live. Mm-hmm. You know, we saw the videos a while back of him playing that song live. He clearly likes it. What the fuck is going on?
Yeah, and when I was listening to the album, because I'm a masochist, is that what it's called? Or sadist? Whatever.
Both.
Yes. Because I hate myself. That's what I'm trying to get at.
Indeed.
I was listening to the album, and I was thinking, like, I remember for... It might have been this... Was it Natural Disaster was their third album? I think that's what it was called.
Their third album was called Uncaged.
Uncaged, that's it. Natural Disaster was a song off of it.
Yes.
But when that album came out, I remember seeing an article about how they, like, added a new member to their band, and it was, like, their full-time fiddler, and how it was, like, this big deal that's, like, now they have a full-time one. It's not a studio guy or a touring guy, like, whatever. And is that guy in the band anymore? Because... It's not a country band.
That is what
anymore.
I wonder.
Like, it's also, 7 or 8 people, but it's...
Yes. You look at the picture of the album, and you're like, look at all these dudes. And then you... I mean, to be fair, I haven't listened through this album, but I've heard snippets and shit. But, like, who's doing anything? Like, is the band just, like, there to, like, hang out?
Yeah.
Like, what is anyone doing?
Because they don't have instruments anymore. Like, maybe they play on, like, 3 of the songs, but it's mostly, like... computer shit. Like, what do they do?
It reminds me of the part from Dewey Cox where the band is just sitting there on the couch and he's just like, the one guy says that goat has more time on this track than I do. That's what it seems like that is going on with the Zac Brown Band.
Like,
that they just keep adding members, and then instead of actually using those members, Zac Brown's like, what if I bought 12 more producers to make some shitty song, and you'll all get paid, so don't worry. And they're just like, all right.
Because that's what I'm thinking. Are they just collecting paychecks at this point? Because I don't think they do anything anymore.
Especially for the fact that they're all good musicians.
I know. That's the worst part
about
it.
Wouldn't they all want to do something musical?
Yeah, I really don't get this band anymore. Like, they have just completely lost their identity. On Twitter, back when I was running it way back, you know, whatever. I think it was when they announced, like, this isn't going to be a country album or whatever. Or this isn't going to be a traditional country album, which is their way of trying to say it's still going to be sold as a country album, but it's not.
Yeah.
I said, like, the life of Zac Brown Band or whatever. It's like, first album, amazing country album. Second album, just a great follow-up to a great country album. Third album, let's try something new, but it's still pretty country. Fourth album, it's a mixtape I found in the 90s. Next album, it's
it's just not good. And then, like, next album, Homegrown, we're going to go back to our country roots. Next album, didn't work. Let's go back to EDM.
Yeah, I honestly don't know what it, like, was it, you know, did he get pissed that no one, like, really jumped in on the Homegrown album?
Whatever that, or Welcome Home, or whatever the fuck that album was called.
Yeah, it's the one with Homegrown.
But yeah, Homegrown, I think, was actually on Jekyll and Hyde. But
are you sure?
I think so. I could be wrong.
What's the one from, there's a fucking country-ass song on the other one.
I mean, there's a
I don't fucking know. I don't care.
Well, the thing is that the country album, it was good. It just wasn't as great as You Get What You Give and Foundation, because those two albums are just like legendary country albums.
Yeah,
and it just felt like he was phoning it in for a country album to be like, oh, we're country, I swear. But then no one gave a shit, and he's like, well, fuck it. Let's just go back to the crap that's not country that more people will listen to. And that's what they're doing now, and it sucks. ZDB used to be, they used to be the band that every song went number one and you were looking forward to their new music, and now it's just like, go away. All you do is
No, they were on the top of the list of bands I wanted to see, and then now they are on the list of I don't ever give a shit if I ever hear their name again.
I could be at a fair and they're just happen to be playing and I'd still be like, yeah, all right, bye.
They could be playing at the King County Fair for $5, and I wouldn't even go for the story.
Fuck the haters, Kevin.
Anyway,
this week we wanted to talk about last week. If you're a regular listener, thank you. We love you. If you're not, you're new. Hi, my name's Steve, and I like country music. But last week we talked about Brad Paisley's. Like his non-singles, the songs off the album that you might not know from his first four or five albums. I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was from his albums from 99 to 2007. So the first 8 years of his career. And this week I wanted to talk about the ones from the later albums, which Kevin doesn't know as well. The first two albums you do know, it's American Saturday Night and This Is Country Music, which you know those albums very well. But later ones, yeah. Kevin's not, he fell off the Paisley train, which most people did because honestly his later albums aren't nearly as good as his first albums.
And also, I hate to keep bringing it up because it's such an easy dead horse to keep beating, but as soon as someone releases a song like Accidental Racist, can you really blame people for being like, you know what, I'm done?
Once again, spoiling the list that's happening today. But
I will say, better written than God given.
it's not inaccurate. It's really not inaccurate. First off, before we get into the ones that I did choose, I didn't pick any songs off of Play. The only album that was, or the only song that was a single was Start a Band, that Keith Urban song that he was with, that he did. The album, it's a great album, especially if you like him for his guitar playing, because he does, you know, like, he does songs with, like, B.B. King, he covers, you know, like, Buck Owens songs and stuff like that. Actually, I think Buck Owens is on it. Yeah, he does Come On In with Buck Owens on it. Steve Wariner's on it, Vince Gill. Like, it's a great album, but it's it's just like, I love the song Kim. It's literally a song written for his wife, Kim, and it's a beautiful acoustic song. Same with, like, Kentucky Jelly, he just shreds on the guitar. Like, they're great songs. It's not really one that, you know, it was never an album that he's made to sell, like, go platinum. It's just one that he did to show how great of a guitarist he is, how passionate he is about the guitar. And it's a great album, but it's not one where, like, I pick songs off of it that I listen to often. So I figured I'll just skip that one. So we first start off in 2009 with his next album after Fifth Gear, which was the last on the previous episode, obviously. American Saturday Night, which the album itself, I believe, went number one, and it had two number one hits off of it, Water and Then, and then Welcome to the Future and American Saturday Night both peaked at two. So it's a great album.
Yeah.
And then Anything Like Me was also on it, but it went number one on his Hits album the next year when he had the Greatest Hits album come out.
Oh, sure.
But yeah, so this first song I wanted to talk about off this album is Everybody's Here. Now I'm acting like I couldn't be better, like I've always got this smile on my face. I'm walking around, weaving through the crowd, and trying not to look out of place. 'Cause everybody's here. This is like,
are they?
Yeah,
are
like
they
I,
here?
Like I said on the last episode, most of the first ones they're actually really upbeat songs because he's such a clever songwriter. As we said again, like you made the point of his songs are like Pixar movies. They're sweet, but they're also funny. They're also like they tug at the heartstrings while making you laugh, especially his older stuff.
Yep.
But his later ones, the songs that I really grip onto are the sadder ones. So Everybody's Here, it's about a guy who recently went through a breakup, and he goes to the party, and he's just pretty much talking about like how he's at the party, but he's really not at the party. And he even has the line like, everybody here's looking to leave with somebody, but I'm just looking to leave type thing. And it's just this great, because everyone's been in that where you get invited out to a party or you're out with your friends, and you're just like, I just kind of want to be at home right now. Like, I really don't want to be here.
Yeah. The inverse of the idea of, you know, being in a crowded room with someone you love and you feel like you're the only ones there, the inverse of that being in a room without the person that you care about because you are depressed, and even though you're surrounded by people and friends, you feel alone.
Yeah, and it also, it's recently after his album or after his breakup, because he's at the party and there's the line like, the first time somebody asked where you were, I didn't know what to say. The second time I just said you're on your way, and the third time I just was like, no, she's not coming, like type thing.
Yeah.
And because he didn't want to be constantly being like, we broke up, leave me alone, we broke up. Like, so it's just an emotion that everyone knows, like when if people, you know, you're not friends on Facebook, someone goes like, oh, hey, what's your face? You're like, so we split like 3 months ago. Like, thanks for bringing it up, asshole. Like that kind of thing. Yeah. So I just really love it.
For sure.
Next up off this album is You Do the Math. With 7 billion people in this world, I can't believe you're still a single girl. But the best things in life just can't be done alone. It takes two to make love, baby. I'm sure that I'm one, you're one, you do the math. This is one of the more...
You do the math.
Slitzer crocodile. This is one of his more upbeat ones, because like this is still when he was kind of the both. But this one is the thing of like, it's basic math that you and I should be together. Like, I'm one, you're one, you do the math type thing, and it's just it's just a fun song. There's really no depth to it. I just think it's a fun one.
Yeah, and it's a continuation of, you know, like we've been saying about the older albums, is that he has these upbeat fun songs that are just, you know, really well done.
Yeah. Next up, also from this album,
indeed,
is the song No. On my fifth birthday, I got so upset about the brand new bike that I didn't get. I'd prayed my heart out and it didn't seem fair. I told my grandpa, I guess God doesn't care, and he just smiled and said, my child, make no mistake.
mistake. Every prayer you pray gets answered, even though sometimes the answer is no.
I love this one because it's just like the God always answers your prayers. Sometimes it's, the answer's just no. Like,
yeah, I really like it because, you know, I always think about this song, obviously, similar to the Garth Brooks song Unanswered Prayers, because they're the same sort of idea. But I really like this angle on it, because he says, like make no mistake that he hears every prayer that you make, and he answers them. But sometimes the answer is no, because there's, like, such a great learning, you know, message in the ways that you could... Because, like, he talks about, like, I selfishly wanted, you know... He wants
his grandpa's about to pass away, and he's like, I was begging to God to keep him alive, and it's just like, exactly. Well, sometimes the answer's
and,
no.
Yes, and the lessons that you can learn and through that no, I think is so, like, it's such a powerful idea, and it's just really cool. I like it a lot.
Yeah. Next up is there's actually two more off this album, because I love this fucking album. This is American Saturday Night was one of those that I listened to constantly all the way through.
Yeah, it was a good one.
The next one is Oh Yeah, You're Gone.
This is gonna take some getting used to, baby. I'm gonna need more time, because I still say yes when I ought to say me. I still say ours instead of mine. Every plan I make, every road I take, I still see you riding along. And then suddenly it hits me, oh yeah, you're gone.
This is, yeah, I love this one. It's the thing where you wake up and you're just going through the habit of, like, he grabs two cups to pour coffee for his wife, and then it's just like, oh yeah, you're gone. And then it's like, we go down the concert, they'll probably play our song, oh yeah, you're gone. Like, it's just that cool thing of, he's so used to this habitual lifestyle of being with this girl, and suddenly she's gone, it's just like, I don't know what I'm doing, because I'm so used to you being here.
Yeah, it's a part of a... You know, it's the part of a breakup that they don't talk about necessarily all the time in the breakups, because they always usually focus on just, I'm fucking sad, I miss you, blah, blah, blah. But, like, the idea of, like, my entire life now is basically going to be altered because every little thing was with you in some way. Mm-hmm. And the fact that there's all these reminders in the smallest and most subtle ways, it's just really cool.
Yeah. I love this song, and it's so slow, and I just love it. And then finally off this album is the song I Hope That's Me.
Somebody's gonna get dressed up and take you out for Valentine's. Get lots of jealous looks, thinking that's one lucky guy. And I hope that's me. I hope that's me.
This song, it's a nice love song. It's just this whole thing of like, hey, somebody's going to dress you up and take you out to dinner. Someone's going to take care of you when you're sick, and I hope it's me that does that. Like, I hope I'm the guy who gets to walk you down the aisle. I hope I'm the one who gets to, you know, hold our child together. I hope I'm the one who's staring at you from your window. What?
I hope I am the one whom you get a restraining order to keep away.
I hope I'm the one that gets to wear your skin.
I hope you are the one who puts the lotion on the skin.
I hope you put the lotion in the basket.
I hope I am the one who gets to use those again.
But no, I love it because it's, yeah, the whole thing from like the start of the relationship of I hope I get to be that one to all the way up to at the end where I hope I'm the one sitting on the porch in a rocking chair with you, and like it's just a great love song, and I love it. Next up, we move on to his next album. This is Country Music, which had two number one hits, which was Old Alabama and Remind Me, which had Carrie Underwood in it. And then This is Country Music and Camouflage, which peaked at 2 and 15. I don't know why he chose... Camouflage was the first song where I was just like, uh-oh, he's making bad choices for singles. Like, because after this, you'll see that his number ones are much more sparsely.
Yeah, and it's like... it's fine. You can like the song. It's goofy. Funny and shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's just like, really?
Yeah, because...
this is a single choice? All right.
Because shit. Up until now, he has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19 number one hits. And you'll see how many are after this.
Pretty good.
You'll see how many are after this. It's not a lot. But yeah. So,
is it like two?
yeah, we'll see. but the first one off this album that I do love that people should listen to, it wasn't written by him. It was written by Rivers Rutherford, George Tarrant, and Josh Thompson, was A Man Don't Have to Die.
It don't really scare us when you yell and shake your fist. See, we already know that hell exists. It's 6 months short of 30 years when the boss man lays you off. No thanking you, no parachute, no shiny new gold watch. It's payments that you can't make on a house that you can't sell. See, a man don't have to die to go.
I love this one. It's that thing of like,
yep.
I don't have to die to go through hell. Like, there's hell on earth that I'm dealing with. It's like getting fired before you're gonna retire. It's, you know, waking up hungover with the taste of smoke in your mouth, like losing your job, losing your wife, all this. Like, a man doesn't have to die to go to hell. So, hey, preacher, like, goddamn preacher man, stop telling us about how we need to not, you know, avoid hell. Like, tell us how to get to heaven. Tell us how to find the good in life rather than focusing on what's going to come badly. And
absolutely. And speaking of hangovers, I hate being in a car for several hours whilst very hungover.
Yeah.
And it has completely affected my brain through today.
Yeah, and if you didn't try proving how much you can outdrink people, you would have been able to play Call of Duty with me.
I decided that in the future I will pass on any sort of competition of the sort.
Because here's me when people tell me, hey, I can drink more than you, go, okay, buddy. And then I move on.
See, that's what I need to realize. Because what I didn't realize was that they all knew the answer before we started.
They know you can outdrink them. But that's their way of getting you shit-faced, is by saying, hey, I bet I can outdrink you. And you're like, oh, okay. It's
funny. It worked. How dare they?
Exactly.
Fucking bastards. I mean, it just, it was just a hell of a fucking bender all day. Goddamn.
I do love day drinking, though. I haven't done it in a long time.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the thing that was hilarious is, like, I got, kicked out of a bar, but then we just, like, went to a bunch of other bars and had a fine time. So it was no big deal, but it was hilarious, though, because did you get the snap from Jake? I don't know how many people he sent it to.
If he had it to a short, no, probably not, actually.
It was just funny because he panned across. The caption that he had was just said, not a fan, and it was just panning from the band to me, just birds up.
I'm actually surprised he didn't send that to me, because that's something that I would appreciate the most.
I don't even remember when, because again, the whole thing ends up being a blur, but I got a fucking text from Rendoni the next day. He's just like, that was some legend shit. Just pans from the band playing to me, just double bird in the face. And I'm like 3 feet from the stage. Like, it was fucking right there.
That's really funny.
But I didn't put up any fight. Like, after the bouncer, like, walked over to me, I'm like, yep, I'm going.
That's really fucking funny.
God, I wish I had that snap still.
Yeah. I wonder if he added it to his, like, memories where he could see
it. I wonder, yeah. Someone might have it. I gotta investigate that.
Yeah.
Put it out on the internets.
Max is very focused on something in the hallway. What's out there, buddy?
Demons.
Must be a bug crawling around or something. Anyway, moving on to another song from this album is One of Those Lives.
Man, it's been one of those days when I've been thinking, poor me.
This is another one that was, like, really clever, because Brad Paisley is pretty much like a wordsmith when it comes to so many of his songs. Like, he can make, like, I think of it like him, like Ray Scott. They're very clever when it comes to like the double entendre type thing or whatever. But this one, it's so great because it's just like, I was stuck in traffic. The boss yelled at me today. Like, I'm just livid, but then I get a phone call talking about how, you know, our friend's kid has cancer again, or how the cancer's back, and it's just like, oh shit, like, I realize I'm having one of those days, but that kid is living one of those lives. And it's just like,
yeah,
it's
perspective.
Yeah, it's just, yeah, the, yeah, exactly, the whole perspective thing of like, oh, I'm pissed off about this menial first world problem, but this kid's fighting for his fucking life right now. And it's just like, yeah, I should probably stop bitching about shit. And it's such a fucking clever song in that sense, and I just love it. It's good.
Yeah, agreed.
Next up is another great love song by him, New Favorite Memory.
I know what's about to happen. I can read you like a book. You're about to shoot that cute little, yeah, we're late look. There it is, baby, don't move. I wanna soak this in. I've got a new favorite memory of you.
I love this one as well, obviously, because it's on my list. But it's a song about, like, everything his wife does. It's just like, there it is. That's my new favorite memory of you. Like, it's like, we're running late for dinner, and you're sitting there with your dress is only half on, your hair's not done, your shoes are off, and you're just giving me that look. And you're like, there it is. It's my new favorite memory. And then, like, we get to the, you know, the bar late, and she just gives out her, you know, her contagious laugh, and it's like, there it is. My new favorite memory. And then get home, we're going to start banging. There it is. My new favorite memory. I mean, he words it a little better than that, but
yeah, he says, we going straight plow, woman.
Stacks on stacks.
That's my new
stacks on stacks, come on backs.
That's my new favorite memory.
But no, it's, yeah, it's just a great love song. And like, the acoustic kind of, it's like a very acoustic song and everything, and it's just great. I love it.
Yeah, it's a good one. Yeah, that's for sure.
Moving on to Kevin's favorite album, which has the masterpiece Accidental Racist, is the album Wheelhouse, which had zero number one hits.
I am so surprised.
Southern Comfort Zone and Beat the Summer both peaked at 2. I Can't Change the World peaked at 22. And the Mona Lisa peaked at 19.
So, I mean,
Mona Lisa.
I know. How did that song not go number one? but yeah, so it didn't. I mean, Southern Comfort Zone, Beat the Summer, both at two. That's obviously not bad, but it didn't go number one. And I do like Beat the Summer. I think it's a fun drinking song. It's a summer song, but not much outside of that to really talk about it. But the songs I did want to talk about off this is, first, it has an intro to it, but the main song, Harvey Bodine.
Because those 5 minutes were heaven, a piece unlike he'd ever known. And now he was back with the living, and he found himself reaching for. Judge me, and so be it. But you know, boys, here's how I see it. Harvey Bodine.
I love this one because it's the, I don't know if you listen to it, but the intro is just like, I had a heart attack while playing charades. Yep. And then and it goes, everyone yelled out, heart attack. And the one guy in the back going, Pledge of Allegiance.
Because isn't it Eric Idle?
It's Eric Idle.
Monty Python?
Yeah. So it's really funny. And then the song itself, it's about after the heart attack and how he died for like 11 minutes or whatever.
I do like this song. I have heard this song and I do like it a lot.
Because then it's like, because it starts off where he's like, I left behind a miserable wife, where you think it's him saying, like, the wife was miserable because he died, but it turns out, no, he left a miserable wife. She's a miserable person, and she's a terrible person. And then it has, like, the, I called the preacher and the lawyer, and I said, well, technically, it's till death do us part, and I died, so.
And yeah, so it's, I do love that.
Yeah,
because it reminds me of the cigar song. Mm-hmm. It sounds like a cigar song-esque song later in his career, and I do like it a lot.
It's a really funny song. Eric Idle's in it, which is obviously a plus because, you know, the dude's
fucking
a legend.
It.
But yeah, I love it. It's just a really goofy song. And then the other one from this album is Death of a Single Man.
I've never seen him wear a tie, but he looks so natural, almost lifelike. Preacher spoke, his mother cried, when he said, son, you may now kiss the bride. Everyone cheered, I thought how odd, I didn't understand why with champagne and cake we celebrate the death of a single man. So many flowers, he was so loved.
This is another one where it's like just a goofy play on words type thing where it's like he was laying there in a suit. I've never seen him wear a suit. His mom started crying and the preacher was talking. But then they popped champagne and I don't get it because then it turns out it's a wedding. And it's like I'm at the death of a single man and we'll miss him at poker and pour one out for him and like all this. It's just like it's making it seem like the guy died, but it's because he's getting married. And it's just another one of those really clever like songs that Paisley's known for writing. And they're fewer and far between than they used to be. But when they're there, they're there. And I just really like this one. It's a really funny song about being a single guy and being at a wedding. Like, what's going on? He's not going to be with us anymore. And
absolutely. I like this one, too.
Yeah. Moving on to his next album is Moonshine in the Trunk. It had one number one hit on it, which was Perfect Storm, which is a great love song as well. But then it also had Riverbank, which peaked at 2, Crushing It, which peaked at 9, and Country Nation, which peaked at 12. I was actually surprised Country Nation didn't do that well, because it's one of those where it's just a list song, and he lists all these colleges, so I figured it would be played on, like, college game day all the time, because it's just him mentioning all these colleges in it, and I thought it was a decent song, but yeah, it only sold 20,000 copies, so it wasn't that big. But yeah, but from this album, I really like the song American Flag on the Moon. It has an intro where it's like JFK giving a speech and he's just like, why not go to the moon and that kind of thing. And but then the song itself is American flag. I want to type it in. Oops. American. But the song itself is like this thing of him talking to his kid saying like everything is possible because after all, there's an American flag on the moon. Like, and it's just this really like... like deep,
yeah. Just kind of thinking about the, you know, set expectations and hopes and dreams as high as you want because no one would have believed that we could have ever went to the moon and then we fucking did it.
Yeah, because like the one of the choruses is we were children of explorers that came here from every corner. There were adventurers that settled this land and they led the world. They fought tyranny, touched the stars, and brought liberty. And like, let's do that again. And it's just like, so tonight. Dream as big as you can, like, let's be this amazing country that did all this amazing stuff in the past. Like, we can do it because we dream so big that we have our flag on another part of space, like, type thing. And it's
because we're not commies.
Yeah, fuck you commies, we won the space race.
And guess who didn't have a nuclear reactor blow up and almost fuck up the entire world?
Oh, I need to watch, I need to watch Chernobyl again.
Dude, I've watched it twice, and I've thought about watching it a third
time.
It's
so fucking... I'm actually going to...
It's incredible!
This week I'm going to start the Breaking Bad binge again now that El Camino's coming out soon.
Oh, shit. I should rewatch that. I haven't rewatched that in a long time.
I actually haven't rewatched it since it ended on TV. Like, I own all the... I'm on Blu-ray, but I haven't watched the last season on Blu-ray because I just haven't watched it since it ended. And I need to.
I certainly have not watched the whole thing. But I want to say that there have been times where I've started watching random bits of it.
Mm.
I don't know. Yeah. But I should just fucking start from the beginning and do it again.
Yeah, it's so good. And then finally is from his latest album, Love and War, which I'm looking at the singles. It made me laugh that remember when he released that Without a Fight song with Demi Lovato and it wasn't very good.
I don't actually remember that.
I know you've heard
I would.
You've shit-talked it, yeah. About it to me. But I think he realized that, because it peaked at 16, so I think he realized no one really liked it, so he didn't put it on this album. But
I do remember that. I don't remember that. I can't think of the song right now, but I remember that happening, because I remember being pissed off about it existing.
The lyrics...
And then he didn't even put it on.
The lyrics are, let's make up without a fight. So it's like, it's a boning song that he sings with Demi Lovato.
Yeah.
But... His final album, other than obviously he has one coming out, which has released that Bucked Off and My Miracle singles, which are fine, is the album Love and War, which also has no number one hits on it. Today peaked at number 3, and then Last Time for Everything was at 19, and Heaven South was 48. Last Time for Everything was actually written by Mike Ryan, so I like it for that. But
yeah, no, that's a good one.
So you were right. Well, you were wrong because you said there were two more number ones. There was only one more number one since Camouflage came out. So, yeah, I mean,
that's funny.
He's had three peak at 2 and one peak at 3. So it's not like his career is completely dead. But
yeah, part of me just kind of thought that like Riverbank would have made it because it's shitty and people like it.
Yeah, but yeah,
and stuff.
But yeah, so. Yeah, so his career obviously has kind of declined since This Is Country Music, which sucks. But then again, as we said in the last episode, the music quality back then was so good compared to kind of what's now. But
yeah, I could listen to Part 2 and Who Needs Pictures on a motherfucking loop.
Time Well Wasted, Mud on the Tires, fucking love those albums. Yeah, but... The last song, which is from Love and War, that I wanted to talk about, it was written by him and Whisperin' Bill Anderson, because the song also features him, is the song Dying to See Her.
As he crosses over to the other side,
She smiles at him, he runs to her with arms open wide.
I love this song because Whisperin' Bill plays the old guy in the song, and the line is that he's dying to see her, which means his wife passed away, and he's finally passing away because he wants to go see her in heaven. And it's just an amazing song, and how they just completely overlooked this song, probably because Whisperin' Bill Anderson won't sell a song on radio these days, but... it's just so fucking good about, yeah, just a guy who's pretty much lost everything once his wife passed away, and so now he's on his way to go see her, and it's so good.
Yeah. I
love this song.
Hell yeah. That makes me think of, it makes me think of the song Cody Jinks released, William and Wanda, that's going to be on his new album, because, yeah, I'm embarrassed to say that I can't really think of that song right now because I know that I've heard it a bunch of times. Yeah. But I am a sucker for those kind of songs, so I want to listen to it very soon so that I can be reminded.
Yeah, I would definitely check it out when we're done recording.
You've played it for me, though.
Yeah, some quick, like, there weren't ones that I would, recommend as much, but the songs I do kind of like off this album also were the selfie, hashtag the internet is forever, just because it's goofy, where it's just like, you take a selfie at your grandpa's funeral and just hashtag sad day, like, just stupid shit, like, just making fun of people for doing dumb shit on
the internet. I do like that, because that is fucking funny.
And then, obviously, Gold All Over the Ground, it's the song where he just wrote Johnny Cash's poem into a song, and it's really good that way. And then, what was the other one? Oh, Love and War with John Fogerty. They wrote it about how soldiers come back from war and then they're forgotten about and just not treated well. And so it's just a really...
All right, hippie! That's a very real subject matter.
Yeah, and then also, I guess, The Devil is Alive and Well, where it's just like, even if you don't believe in God, we're kind of in a shit show right now, and I think The Devil's Alive and Well.
The devil wears a suit and tie.
Yeah.
I saw him riding down the 64 in early July.
Nope. In early June.
Fuck.
Anyway, so yeah, those are the songs from Paisley's later career that I recommend. Like we said last week, the first half of his career was where the gold came from. But not his later career, they're still the ones that you should check out. That's why we're doing the episode, obviously. But it just sucks that his music isn't what it used to be, and it's a bummer.
Yeah. It really is, but he's at least so talented at the guitar that you're still going to find those moments.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they're not I don't know if they're not necessarily as prevalent because I haven't really listened to these albums all that much, but he's so fucking good that you're gonna hear some shredding.
Yeah, and that
most people can't do.
And I like it because I'm trying to think. I think Solar Powered Girl's a really shitty one from his new one, but for like the most part, his songs aren't like they don't go like pop. Like they're. He still has his, like, country-ish rock sound. He's never really... And obviously other than, like, Axel and Racist, which sucks ass, but... like, other than, like, a couple...
No.
Other than, like, a couple of hiccups, he hasn't released, like, a pop album. Like, he hasn't he hasn't done, like, a Chris Young, where it's just like, what the fuck is this? Like...
I'll put it this way. I think instead of making shitty pop songs, he has made a lot of things that deserve... to be in his Nationwide commercials and not in his albums.
Yeah. That's a good way of putting it. But yeah, I still love Paisley. Obviously, he's not going to be someone I write off his old songs because of his new songs. I still love, like we said, the first episode, all of those albums are gold. Fifth Gear is amazing. From this episode, American Saturday Night and This Country Music, both fantastic fucking albums. But yeah, he's always got those hidden gems there that you should check out. Unlike, I love when since we have a bunch of followers on the intranets that when I posted last week's episodes, people commented like, "Oh, I thought this was like posting year that he died, and I was sad he didn't." I'm like, "Really, dude? Like, really? Like, come on."
Yeah, no, there's always the fucking like the most hardo dudes in the universe mm-hmm. that just. Fucking, I don't know. I mean, it's the same people who think that it's really funny to just be like, "Luke Bryan, never heard of her." It's like, that joke sucks, bro.
Yeah,
it's not even a good joke. Just stop it. There's so many legitimately good reasons to shit on so many people. Why do terrible work? That's all I'm mm-hmm. saying. If you're gonna shit on someone. Do it right.
Yeah, like we've had the...
And look the band in the eye, and you give them both fingers.
Yeah, like... like we've had the episodes, we've had multiple on Eric Church, we had the Jason Aldean episode, and people comment on it like, "I thought this was a country music podcast." I'm like, listen to the fucking episodes and realize why we're doing it. Obviously, we don't have that much respect for Jason Aldean, but if you listen to the episode, you realize why we talk about him, like... And
because burning it down changed my life.
Well,
and that's not a lie.
Well, yeah,
it changed my life because I didn't think such terrible things would be permitted in this country.
Well, it's also
and they were.
It's also a fucking amazing song, so.
Well.
Anyway, let's move on to the number one country song of this week, but not from this year because this year's terrible. This year, we're going way back to a couple of years before me and Kevin were born in the 50s to a song that was number one for like nine weeks or something. I don't even remember. It's from September 15th to November 17th of 1956 was Elvis Presley's Hound Dog.
Nothing but a hound dog crying all the time. I don't know any of the other words to this song.
I don't really either. It's just everyone knows that you ain't nothing but a hound. Yeah. Everyone knows that fucking line.
I think it's amazing to think about, you know, music that far back and then the things that are socially acceptable nowadays by comparison. It's hilarious. Think about how people were so offended by Elvis, like, dancing around. He shaked his hips. They're just like, "Oh, my God, how dare he?" And now, if you're not just getting fucked on stage, you're like, you're not even a real pop artist.
So brave!
Just stunning and brave and stunning. And so it's hilarious to think about. It's also interesting to think about how Elvis attained a level of fame that is kind of impossible to replicate in the modern time.
Yeah, like the closest...
Because he got so popular so fast, and for the time, it's like, it's crazy. I mean, it killed him.
Yeah, really, really the only, like, even close comparison, and I know it's sacrilege to mention these two people in the same sentence, but like nowadays it's like Justin Bieber, like how fucking huge he got, but at the same time, like compared to like per capita type thing, he's not as huge because obviously a lot of people hate him, but like just being like this person who can't go out their door without being mobbed by a crowd of women, like.
Yeah, I mean, I think about, like, you got your Elvises, you've got your Beatles.
Yeah.
Because Beatles were the same.
Oh, yeah, the Beatlemania thing, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's a handful of pop icons, I guess, that you could say
Michael Jackson.
But, like, in the current, I mean, I really think about it, like, in the current day and age where there's so much digital things, obviously certain people who have a tremendous level of fame are going to have that accessibility where they're just fucking everywhere. But, like, Elvis was that before anyone had the ability to really, like follow people.
Yeah,
he just was,
that's
he
true.
He was just so big, and there was really no infrastructure to make stars. Like, he just kind of, like, did it.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
That's true, because I think about, I follow, you know, just hashtags on Instagram. You can follow just hashtags. And there will be some post by someone that has, like, 50,000 likes. I'm like, what the fuck is this? You go to their page. They have, like, 5 million followers. I'm like, I've literally never heard of this person. Like,
yes.
And it's like, they're a famous, Twitch person or a famous, like, Instagram fucking person. Like,
yes.
I don't know who the hell
there's
you are.
There's so much, there's so many devices that there's so many abilities to have, you know, follows nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
That it's crazy to think about how, like, just how big Elvis was back in the day.
Yeah, and then, like,
crazy shit.
Like,
and then he died in the toilet.
taking a shit.
Well, died of a fucking overdose.
No, he was taking a shit. He had such a big turd that his heart exploded.
Yeah, I too struggle with that sometimes.
Anyway, the music that came out, I looked up as much as I could from the past 2 weeks since I failed last week. The first thing is Riley Green's Different Round Here. Had the songs from the EP he released not too long ago. It's not amazing, but it's country, so hey. Then Charlie Crockett's The Valley. It's more Charlie Crockett. His music is great. Sounds all good.
Yeah, he's incredible.
Next up is Haley Witter's The Days. It's an EP, but it's pretty good. She's a talented. I like the. She has a clever title for one of her songs. It's Red Wine and Blue. So I'm like, that's actually a pretty.
Oh, that's cool.
It's a pretty clever
name.
That's
nice.
Next is Dave Adkins, Better Days. He's a bluegrass artist. Really, really, really good.
Yep.
Jay Smith, Young Guns. I listened to this one while I was at work today. It's phenomenal. He's kind of like a Shane Smith rock sound guy, and I really like he.
Solid.
Next is Allison Porter's Pink Cloud. She's a folky artist. She's really good. JP Harris, Why Don't We Duet in the Road Again? Wait. Why Don't We Duet in the Road Again? Yep, that's the name of the album.
Yeah, let's do it in the road.
He's very, very like Joshua Headley, you know, that kind of 50s sound.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, really good. Next is The Likely Culprit's self-titled album. Ron White is on the cover of the album for some reason, but he's not in the band, so I don't know what's happening.
But, you can't tell him he's not.
But they're a really, really good country. It's one of those bands where some songs are sang by the male singer, some are by the female singer, so it's one of those big bands like that.
Variety.
It's they're really, 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 really good, but I don't know why Ron White is on the cover. Yeah, that's it for that. What else you been listening to, if anything?
I've been listening to the sound of my own insides dying. I don't know. I kind of, not a whole lot, because I was out of town like that whole weekend, then I got back, and then work's been crazy. So really, I haven't listened to anything in a while. I mean, I listened to Cody Jinks a lot, because he is everywhere and always
Cindy
eternal.
Jonks?
But yeah, I don't know. Not too much going on.
Word. Word, word, word.
What about you?
I've been rewatching Veep. That show is fucking hilarious, and everyone needs to watch it. The disses that they get in those things, like, what the hell is the one? Jolly Green Fucktard is a great one. like, they just have the greatest disses, and it's hilarious.
That's why I love Letterkenny.
Yeah, and I was watching.
The insults are incredible.
Oh, yeah. And I was watching. I watched all the digital Between Two Ferns episodes because I'm going to watch the movie here soon.
I got to watch that.
Yeah. Love Between Two Ferns. You rewatch the fucking Bradley Cooper episode. It is so goddamn funny.
I don't think I ever saw it the first time.
Oh, it's so funny. I was like crying laughing at the end. But also. Yeah, I don't have any questions or listener shit this week. So find us at CountryHodgePodge.com, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, Country Hodgepodge, Spotify, the Hodgepodgecast Picks, where I upload all the songs we talk about each week. You can find Kevin's Picks of the Week on a list he tweets out, or else it's on the link through the website, or if you go to Spotify and search the username Donkey Factory, one word,
you can find it.
This month in country, I hate you. This month
I knew that if I dabbed, it wouldn't come through on the podcast, so I just said dab.
I hate you. This month in country, where we upload all the albums that come out this month, and they move to 2019 in country. Listen, every album that comes out this month, and this year, they're so good. Buy one of our dumb shirts on the link through the site. Go to tpublic.com, search Country Hodgepodge. Kevin is on Twitter at chp_church, where he yells at clouds and gets kicked out of bars. Please rate and review the podcast on iTunes. It's also on Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Spotify. That's it for this week. Next week, we're going to be talking about good old Sam Hunt, so stay tuned for that. My name is Steve Hodge. As always, joined by Kevin Hodge, saying goodbye, good night, and good show. I'm